Well, the gods of
1 minute until showtime.
And
as
Eric,
you mentioned,
let me just tell you something. I just got this notification on my phone that they're going to play the introduction to this. I have no idea what's going on, but we're just going to roll with the punches. And whatever happens, happens, because there is a trust level here, and we trust each other. So if we suddenly hear my introduction music, we hear it. But we're going to move on as if it's not coming. So let's just take a yoga breath right now, my friend. Please tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Well, you certainly hit the high points. I was with NBC, long ago, and it was a wonderful place to work, and news was a different business then. It was a truly different business. The first book I published was about my early years at NBC and what I thought some of the problems with television journalism were. And to read it today, which I haven't done, but I know that if I did, it would seem so quaint, because the problems of television news today, the biases, the triviality, are so much more serious than they were when I worked at NBC. I left mainly because I wanted to write something that lasted longer than 2 minutes, as a news story does. I had a segment of my own on the Today Show that was 4 minutes long, and then I wanted to write more than that. I wanted to write books, and that is what I have spent my time doing since.
Mm-hmm. What years, just for those of us, I mentioned to you that, you know, maybe people switch around when they watch television news, but...
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Born to Talk radio show. I'm your host,
Eric,
Marcia Witeka.
This is going to take about
conversation
30 seconds, so we'll just
plus
let
connection
it go, right?
Equals community.
And I can't
those
edit
are
now,
my three
so
C's.
Here we go.
The heart of my show is, what's your story? It's my belief we all have stories. Some are similar, others are uniquely different. Storytelling brings the passions of my guests to life through our conversations. So be prepared to be entertained, informed, and inspired. Welcome to today's show.
Holy cow. Do you think this had anything to do with turning the clocks back? My God, that's just crazy. Well, I'm glad you got to hear it. But is I grew up with Channel 4, or the NBC News 4 in Los Angeles. And we watched the Today Show. I continue to watch the Today Show. News is a little bit disturbing when you put the news on, and sometimes it's too disturbing. But, you know, I appreciate. So what years were you actually there at NBC on Nightly News?
I was on Nightly News and the Today Show back and forth.
Yes.
Between 1976 and 1984.
Wow, isn't that amazing? Well, we're gonna move on now, and who knows, you know, if there was ever a person that this was gonna work with, it's you, my friend. So you are so terrific to be so patient with what's happened here today. But let's talk about this book you've written, because it's your latest book, and it's called When the Dead Talked and the Smartest Minds in the World Listened. That's a pretty amazing title. How'd you come up with the title for that?
Well, because that's precisely what the book is about. In the late 19th century, something called spiritualism, which was for some reason regarded as a religion and was the seventh most popular religion in this country. It had more adherents than Mormons, more adherents than Christian Science. And its only tenet really was that it was possible to communicate with the dead. And most people didn't believe this was possible. So mediums or psychics, the people who did the communicating for you, were regarded for the most part as frauds, as scam artists. But I came across an anecdote in a book I was reading about, I would say, in London and in New York, there were two groups of geniuses. The two men in Great Britain who went on to become prime ministers, William James in this country, Thomas Edison, who wanted to take this notion seriously. They didn't start out necessarily believing that it was possible to communicate with the deceased, but they thought the matter should be studied. And that's what drew me to the subject. I never had any interest in the subject before this,
mm-hmm.
Marcia, but the idea that, well, let's just to take one, William James, who was then in the late 19th and early 20th century and probably still is today, the reigning American intellect, the father of empiricism, the first person to teach psychology at the university level.
Mm.
He had an experience with a medium who told him that his sister would die in two nights at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Whoa.
That happened.
Oh, my God.
That started James and literally more than 1,000 other people in London and in the United States on a mission to just see if there was any legitimacy to the whole idea
mm-hmm.
of communion with the afterlife.
Interesting. So when you talk about the smartest minds in the world, who are you actually referring to when you say that?
Well, a lot of them most people mm-hmm. haven't heard of because they are scholars, they are philosophers,
mm-hmm.
they are academics. I mentioned William James. I mentioned Thomas Edison in the United States, Nathaniel Hawthorne, many of the most significant authors in this country, university presidents, the president of Cornell, the head of the Harvard School of Divinity. To be a genius is not necessarily to be a celebrity. In England, as I mentioned, two men, William Gladstone and Arthur Balfour, both of whom went on to become prime ministers, were members of the Society for Psychical Research, as was just to mention one more. I don't want to make too long and tedious a list here, but a fellow named Alfred Russel Wallace, who discovered the theory of evolution a couple of decades before Darwin did and thought it was so controversial, he filed it away in a drawer and didn't take it out until after Darwin had published his. So the people I'm talking about were largely academics, and they were really, you would think, Marcia, antithetical to
mm-hmm.
psychics and mediums, but they wanted to study them.
Could you give me an example of what some of them may have said back in those days?
Do you mean some of the smartest minds in the world and their initial impressions?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Well, most of them, if they were in one of these two groups, in London,
mm-hmm.
the Society for Psychical Research, and in the United States, just off Central Park in New York, the building is still there, the American Society for Psychical Research. Most of the people who belonged to that group were, did not have completely negative feelings about this idea, or they wouldn't have joined the groups.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems these people had, these academics, these philosophers, these scholars, was just by their being willing to study the subject, a lot of them lost their reputations. A lot
wow.
of them were ostracized. You know, the feeling among a lot of other smart minds in the world was, how could you people with your smart minds, to take this seriously enough even to conduct experiments, to run trials. It was a very controversial matter.
I bet. I bet there were a lot of doubters, weren't there?
Yeah, and even today, The New Yorker 2 years ago published an article in which it released the results of a survey which showed that, and this figure quite astonished me, one out of every three Americans today says he or she has talked to someone in the afterlife, someone who is deceased. So
that's really something.
The notion is still prevalent. I guess I should say no one deceased has ever talked to me, and a lot of people who are alive I wish hadn't talked to me because they weren't very interesting.
I do not
put into that category.
Thank you. I want to just share a personal anecdote to what you've just said. I have a very good friend. I'm a widow, and this friend of mine is a widow, just coming up on 2 years. And she has smelled her husband because he always wore Bice. And she would be in her bedroom, and she would smell George in the room. Now, they didn't have a conversation, but there was no doubt in her mind that he had come for a visit. Isn't that interesting? That probably doesn't surprise you, does it?
Well, before I started researching this book, it would have surprised me. Now it doesn't surprise me. There are simply, and I say this especially for the sake of doubters, and I don't know whether I'm one or not. It's just very hard to wrap your mind about this, but it was estimated in the heyday of spiritualism that 95% of all mediums, of all people who claimed they could talk with the deceased, were frauds. One of the reactions I heard to that was, well, see, 95% frauds. I mean, why study it? My reaction was, wait a minute, 5% weren't frauds? Or if they were frauds, they were so ingenious that they were able to fool the smartest minds in the world under the most secure of conditions that they were actually communicating with the dead.
Yep.
So it was this minority, this minority, this 5% of the population of mediums who simply could not be discovered using any kind of tricks, any kind of wires, any kind of false communicative measures. It just intrigued me greatly.
You know, I have to just, I'm sorry, I know we only have a one-hour show, but I do have to interject this because it's personal. When my husband died so unexpectedly, nearly 15 years ago at the Staples Center, we were there for Pac-10 basketball tournament. My husband was an engineer. He had an engineer's mind, and he always lived by this motto, it is what it is. And I always put a comma after that, and I said, yeah, but. And he said, no, it is what it is, period. Adapt. And I'm telling you, it's kind of like that movie Quantum, that show Quantum Leap back in the old days with Scott Bakula and Dean Stockwell. When my husband died, I felt his spirit come into my body, and he said to me, Marcia, it is what it is. You will adapt. I can't describe what that felt like, but to just tell you, I believe that that truly happened. I believe I felt and heard him give that information to me. I just wanted to share that. I've shared it with a lot of different people, but on this particular subject, I think that it's kind of is fitting.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but when you say you heard him, do you mean you actually heard a voice like you're hearing my voice now?
Wow. That's a very good question. Did I hear it or did I feel it?
Yeah.
I have to think about that. You know, Eric, no one's actually asked me that specific question. I need to think about that. So we will move on because that's a significant question, what you just asked me. But I would say that this leads me to the next question, which I think is fascinating, and that is, why do you think people want to speak to the dead? I certainly know why, but go ahead. You tell me your reason.
Well, let me tell you the reasons that they wanted to speak to the dead. And there are analogous reasons today, of course, but in the late 19th century and early 20th, because that's when, that's the period that my book covers, and B, that is considered the heyday, the prime period of spiritualism's population. What happened culturally to make people more receptive to this idea of speaking to the dead? So receptive, they made it their religion. What happened back during that time? Well, the circumstances were just perfect culturally. First of all, Darwin's book came out, and that made some people question the whole foundation, of course, as you know, of organized religion. Second, the Civil War had ended, and it was the bloodiest conflict in our history up to that time. And so many people missed, just achingly missed, their husbands, their fathers, their sons. And organized religion did not offer the opportunity to have any kind of communication with them, whereas spiritualism did. The most famous of the believers and the person who tried the hardest to communicate with a deceased loved one was Abraham Lincoln's wife. Her son, Willie did not die in the war. He died during that time. He died of, I'm sorry, Marcia, but I forget the ailment. But Mary Todd Lincoln spent much of the rest of her life with one medium or another trying desperately. So that's another reason, and that's the fundamental reason. You know, it's someone we love is gone forever. But wait a minute, is there a possibility that there can be communication even though that person isn't with us physically? Also, yes. Also, during that time, Friedrich Nietzsche proclaimed famously, "God is dead." And although that sounds a little esoteric, the phrase has lingered. As a matter of fact, in 1970, an issue of Time magazine, and it's the only issue in the history of Time magazine that ever had just words, no pictures on the cover, had the words, "God is dead." And the main story in the article was an examination of Nietzsche's statement. I can give you other reasons. One of them's rather complicated, and let me do it in an uncomplicated fashion. The Industrial Revolution was at its peak then. Railroads were spreading all over the country. Trolley cars, automobiles near the end of the century, skyscrapers. Life was changing then at a faster pace than it ever had before, and it was leaving a lot of Americans unsettled. Something there was about spiritualism that seemed calming to a lot of people. So I've given you four reasons, and I have to say that although those were all important factors in the popularity of spiritualism at the time, spiritualism was never, and still isn't today, believed in by a majority of people, even the smartest minds in the world. It wasn't all the smartest minds in the world. It was a minority of the smartest minds in the world. came to believe in it.
That's very interesting. So I'm assuming that there were seances. So are there still seances being held today?
Believe it or not, there. Well, I'm tempted to say there aren't. I guess there's the occasional seance. There's a place, a little town, a resort town in upstate New York called Lilydale, which is the only, well, not the only, one of, I think, three or four spiritualist communities in the country. It was the first one. It still exists. Mediums and people who believe in communicating with the dead still go there. It's the stores, the houses, the hotels are open year round, and it shows the
Are you there? Oh dear. Oh, I don't know why we've had so many technical difficulties on this show right now. Eric was talking, and now I don't hear him. I'm hoping that he can come back. I don't know if this is a, you know, it's so fascinating to me, everyone, that this particular subject is clouded around all of these technical issues. And the call dropped, so I'm going to hang on and wait and see if he is able to call back, and I will certainly pick up his call if he is. You know, it's very interesting what I do, because this is a live podcast, and there have been glitches in this podcast, and I'm hoping that by calling back, he will be able to get through. I would say that it's the subject is fascinating. And the fact that he has all this background in the industry of news and his journalism background. And so my hope is that he will call back. I'm going to give him a few more minutes to see how this all turns out. And I would just say, as we're waiting, and I'll keep my fingers crossed, so please do the same, that, you know, you never know, right? It's so much sort of similar to what I said about my husband once he was alive and then he wasn't alive. This isn't the exact same thing. I'm not trying to compare the two. I'm just saying that sometimes things happen that you just don't expect. You think you've got plans. You think things are going the way they're supposed to go. And suddenly they stop. And I don't have control over this. I'm looking at my dashboard to see if Eric is able to call back, and I will certainly wait to see if that indeed happens, or if he will send me a text, and I have my phone available to see that as well. But thus far, I have not heard from him, and I don't know where the problem lies. I would just say to you that I will certainly post what we've talked about this far. There was a lot more we wanted to talk about together. And it's 25 minutes into the podcast, and I just am not sure what's happened. So in an effort to not just ramble, which gosh knows I could do that, I could spend the whole hour just talking about me. That isn't my intent in this podcast. My intent was to spend this hour with Eric, and we don't know, Eric, we don't know what causes to happen, but I am going to go ahead and end this episode now, and perhaps later into the year, maybe we'll try this again. But thank you, everyone that's listened to this podcast thus far. I do appreciate your support, and I don't have an answer to what's happened. So I'm going to go ahead and close the podcast. Thanks, everybody. Bye for now.